today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
In your total career, have you ever estimated with prizes and cash your total winnings and what you've taken home? And is it your full-time gig, or do you do anything else with your life?
Do lots of things in my life.
I'm talking about like career-wise.
Yeah, profession.
Career. Oh,
I wasn't trying to put you down, Joey. I'm just trying to ask the question.
I think we're more than the way we make money, all right?
Yes, we are 100%, Joey. 100%. Oscar would disagree, but that's it. The barking will be Winslow, and the otherworldly sound, the demon from hell sound,
yes,
will be Frankie. Here we go. Are the special effects cool?
They're very good. And because they're
children. I was hoping they'd be like mascot costumes.
And the children, without giving any spoilers, are being hunted. And
it's part baby, part horse. He's a giant horse head. Like the Oklahoma Sooner.
They're being eradicated.
They're eradicating the hybrids?
The hybrids. And this
they're going
isn't
back
like
fully to fossil fuels.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Kids! I wanted to say that like Jurassic Park, but it just doesn't come out like Richard Attenborough, so there's that. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show, enjoying our second decade of the show that has become... No! Oh. Joey Chestnut just appeared.
Ta-da! It's like subliminal chestnut.
Welcome to the show from Tarzana... I'm totally flushed with that. Tarzana, California, Pickering, Canada, Isla Olbosch, Quintana Roo, Mexico, Pond Island, North Carolina, Wilmington Island, Georgia, Dundalk Island, some of the wonderful places where you can hear this fabulous program. And now, let's get right to our guest. This is exciting. We have a legitimate world champion.
Yes.
Last year, because of the pandemic, the annual Nathan's Famous 4th of July International Hot Dog Eating Contest was held at a secret location with only media. It wasn't the usual Coney Island big deal that they
right.
do. The 2021 Nathan's Famous 4th of July International Hot Dog Eating Contest. It's a mouthful. Get the pun?
Yeah.
Will take place before a live audience in Coney Island on Sunday, July 4th. Coverage of the men's competition begins at noon Eastern time and will be broadcast live on ESPN. In addition to hosting the annual event, Nathan's Famous donates 100,000 Nathan's Famous hot dogs to the food bank for New York City every year. According to Major League Eating, the contest has occurred every year since 1916. And we have the grand poobah of poobahs when it comes to eating.
I agree.
In 2020, Joey Chestnut of Indianapolis, Indiana, set a new world record consuming, are you ready?
Yes.
75 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes.
Mm. God.
To retain his mustard yellow championship title belt. In addition to hot dogs, Chestnut holds 46 world records in 46 different food consumption categories, which is a world record of world records. I have the list here. We will get to them. But I mean, the one that jumped out at me, 141 hard-boiled Ooh. Eggs in 8 minutes. I've seen Cool Hand Luke. I remember what the guy had to do to eat 50 eggs
in an hour. An hour.
And I'm sure every disc jockey in the world that's over the age of 50 probably says that. Let's welcome Joey Chestnut to the Mike O'Mara Show. Very, very cool. I have a million questions to ask this gentleman. And, you know, we saw him before, so I know he's out there.
Yes.
Now it's just a question of getting him in here.
There he
now,
is.
And there he is with the championship
with his belt. Yes. Yes.
Wow. Joey, yes. Thank you for coming on the Mike O'Mara Show. How are you, my friend?
Doing well. Good to be on with you guys.
It's really, really neat. I will tell you, I know you. I know of you. I've followed you, but I did not know the records. At the bottom of the one sheet, and a lot of guests come on and we get a one sheet. This is the biography. This is the stuff they give me so I can talk to our guest. And
it's stunning.
I have to start with this, and then I'll let the other guys do their thing. Let me just get this out of the way. Is this? This is not a typo. 141 hard-boiled eggs in eight.
Yeah. I was so
minutes.
Close to getting a dozen. I was bummed out, but 141 was pretty good.
The hard part was the peeling them.
Well, yeah.
Thank you.
So when I was practicing it, peeling them for practice took like an hour and a half.
I guess so. Yeah.
So I during the contest, we didn't have to peel them. They came ready to go.
All right. So the first question, I think immediately, because I'm an old guy and I go back to Cool Hand Luke, which, by the way, I think is on Netflix now.
Yes.
I know you can get that movie if you want to see a classic old movie with Paul Newman. Cool Hand Luke. And there's the probably one of the most famous scenes in film is when he's I can eat 50 eggs. How much time, Luke? A hour. And it's this long, protracted scene where he's breaking into a sweat and they're tapping his belly. So I never saw the coverage of this. I'm sure it was on. It was videotaped. It was on TV. How did you do the egg thing? Because I have no idea how that would be possible.
It was I think it was an 8-minute contest. So I had 8 minutes to do it, and I would take 3 eggs in my hand, and I would stand up really straight, and I'd sip a little bit of water and wiggle them down, and I'd chew them a little bit, but it was mostly just I find that perfect rhythm, just like with all of them. But
so you're just ingesting them practically whole, right?
No, I mean, I was chewing them a little bit. You can't swallow them whole. It just wouldn't be comfortable. But I was just got to find, like all the contests, I find a rhythm, and I find the easiest way to eat the way that I can get the food down the easiest without stressing my body out, and just maximize my capacity. And I put a little bit of thought into that contest because, like you said, everybody knows Cool Hand Luke and hard-boiled eggs. So I wanted to make sure that that's an awesome record to have. I didn't want to lose.
Can I YouTube that and find you doing that? Because I just want to watch it.
I think there is a video of it. Matt Stoney has. I think a hard-boiled egg eating contest, Radcliffe, Kentucky.
The beautiful thing is the whole thing only takes 8 minutes. Mike, that's averaging an egg every 17 seconds for 18 minutes, or 8 minutes, rather. That's incredible.
It's stunning. You're the guy when people think about this. When people think about competitive eating, when did this become a thing for you? A two-part question. When did you know you could do it? Did you start out as like an amateur? And then when did it become, I'm going to be a competitive eater? Because you're kind of, this is not all that, the eating contests are old as the hills, 1916 with the hot dogs.
Yeah.
But the real competitive, you know, making this into a
like
sport.
Feed your family type of sport.
Is relatively recent.
It wasn't my goal growing up. I grew up, I knew I was a big eater, but I went to school for engineering, and I was 21 getting my engineering degree, and my little brother, he knew I could eat more than anybody. And he signed me up to my first contest, and I didn't even go to it. Cause I was like, oh, that's too weird. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to showcase this. Cause I mean, it's at that point, I thought it was weird. And then finally he signed me up to another contest, and then the organizer called him and said, hey, if you actually go, we'll give you a free hotel room. And it was at a casino in Reno. So I was like, I was 21 at the time. So I was like, oh, all right, I'll do it. And I went.
Gotta love Reno.
Reno was fun. And so as soon as I got on stage, I was like, oh my God, this is something I love. And this is it's weird, but I love it. Then I'm going against these guys on my left and right who they all think they're big ears and I can beat them. And then it's just so weird. I fell in love with it. And after that first contest, I didn't even win the first contest, but I knew that I was made for it. And I ended up winning.
When you say you're a big eater, when you're talking about 141 hard-boiled eggs, you're talking about 75 hot dogs with bones, you're talking about... Does it transcend being a big eater? Because you have to have absolutely trained for this. I've read enough about it to know you have to prepare your body to do this. Genetics, are they involved in it? Are you predisposed to be able to accommodate this without, you know, booting all over the stage?
I think there's, I don't know if it's genetics, but I know that for years I would be in a routine where I'd eat healthy during the week. And then on the weekends would be my reward days. And then when I was in college, that's what I would do. And I'd go home to visit my little brother, and my mom would have leftovers from the entire week, and I would eat them. And then I would take my little brother out for dinner. And it was kind of like, for years I've been kind of prepping my body. And that's pretty much what I do for contests even now, is I eat super clean during the week. And then I'm either and then I go into eat every contest absolutely empty, and then my body's used to going from really almost nothing to 100% full.
So depriving your system of this and then diving back into it. Yeah. Is there I just want to clear up some of the myths about this. There's no is there training where you train your body
absolutely. Yeah. So
I mean, how does that work?
So in the beginning, the whole fast, the eating clean and then reward days, it almost worked perfectly. But now I have to do it. I want to do a practice every fifth or sixth day. And then afterwards it's even if I'm not hungry, I'm trying to eat greens and fiber. And then, I start fasting once I'm eating normal again, like once I'm at a normal weight. And then I do another practice once I'm back down to my target weight.
Did you talk to other eaters to find like the procedure to go through the week, or this is something you self-discovered?
There's no trainers, there's no books written about it really. And it's a lot of it's trial and error. And I talked to other competitive eaters, and a lot of things they wouldn't have a good reason why they do it. It's just something that they've always done, or it's something that so-and-so did. So a lot of everything I did, I kept a journal for a long time, and I still write down how I'm doing for every training. And
wow!
So it took a lot of trial and error just to figure out my methods. And then there's other training, like I do with my jaws and my throat and burping exercises, and just to try to exercise these little muscles in your throat that most people, when they eat, that these muscles in their esophagus are only moving down like 2 pounds of food over like 45 minutes. I'm trying to move really close to 20 pounds of food in 10 minutes.
God, and, so, you know, when you say weird, that, when you say like, weird, man, it is so weird to think about.
Oh, yeah. At times I can't tell people how much I think about it, because then they'll know I'm then.
But that's the part. That's the part that fascinates me. That's why I was really excited to have you come on the show, because that, you know, I don't remember. We're doing a deep dive on a competitive eater, and this is super cool, because this to me is 1,000 times more fun than watching the first 10 minutes when you're scarfing them down. I love, although we're promoting that. I just want to say for me.
Of course. But this is the science behind this.
It's sort of, yeah, but it's kind of natural too, is what he's saying, right?
Carb science.
I'm going to save some of the really stupid questions for the back end of this interview, because I have to
follow up that I don't know is stupid, but.
Okay, go ahead.
Shocking.
Lay it on me. Yes. All right.
When you do something professionally, you probably hate doing it for fun. Do you hate eating?
No.
Great question.
That is.
That's what makes me. That's what makes me great. And that's what makes me so great for competition. It's like a runner still loves to run. I think a fighter, they're not going to turn down a fight if somebody's tries to get physical with them. So I think eating I love to eat, and I love to eat good food. If it's bad food, it's like people always say, "Oh, can you taste it?" Like, absolutely, I can taste it. If there's something weird, if there's something burnt, if there's something a flavor in there that's goofy. It's magnified. It's like a race car driver on a bad road. It gets magnified over and over again. And
so the hot dogs would be in for that, because of the consistency of the product alone. That would be probably a pretty good choice for you, right? And a hard boiled egg. Yeah. There's not going to be a lot of variety. You know what you're getting, right? I mean, right?
Yeah.
Easy.
I know exactly. I can practice with the hot dogs. I have a tolerance for the Nathan's hot dogs. It was really weird getting used to eating a wet bun. I had to really trick my brain into thinking, all right, that's no longer a bun. I had to trick it into thinking that's a sip of water that looks like a bun.
I remember this now. Your technique involves dunking the bun in water so it goes down easier, right?
Yeah.
So you eat the dog and the bun separately, and that's according to the rules. As long as you consume it all, it's still legal.
Absolutely, yeah.
Wow.
Do you chew the hot dog when you're doing that? You chew a little bit, right?
Otherwise, I mean, I could swallow hot dogs whole, but there's just things wrong with it. Like it would tire out certain muscles in my throat. They would stack weird in my stomach. It would take a lot longer to digest. I would stomach ache.
Mike, how many times have you done an interview without someone talking about how something stacks in their stomach?
I tried swallowing them whole.
It's just so fascinating to me. All right, let me get right to my dumb questions. I don't know how many. I've got too many to list here. The worst thing you have ever experienced seeing in one of these competitions, all right? Not you yourself. I'm talking about when you got these these amateurs. Is there obviously some people should not be on that stage with you doing this? What are some experiences that you'll never forget, Joey Chestnut, world champion eater?
There's one. So it was a weird contest to begin with. It was we were eating brain tacos.
And brain?
They looked like cow brains. Oh. And they seared them, and it was at a zombie pub crawl. It was a pretty good time. Everybody was having a good time, and so the contest, they looked like brains. And the guy next to me, he got sick, and he ended up. You know, during the contest, we had the MC, who was the the announcer, the
bar. I've done it.
And it smelled, and everybody kind of like took pause, like everybody had to take a breather for a second.
And then I
couldn't stop because I had the guy next to me was only one behind me, so I
he's focused. He's focused.
A champion.
You drive one ahead of him, but I remember that guy. And MC was so mad afterwards, but you have to
because the guy yacked like, next to you because he booted.
Yeah.
They call that the reversal, Mike.
Yeah, the reversal. Elvis left the building.
Joey, if you don't mind, you look at every turn. You're really approaching this not just from a science side, but a profession, right? And it really does make sense that you have a process. You set up for your competitions. You think them out. You train on eat day, not fight day. Eat day. Do you have are you superstitious? Is there some sort of like you have to do this before you hit the stage and eat? How does that go down?
Go down, get it.
Bad.
I try not to be superstitious. I don't set myself up like it with practice. I've done so many practices, and I set myself. I like to know that. All right, some practices I feel like garbage. I feel low energy, and then I can still do really well. And it's awesome to know that. Like, all right, there's things that just because I feel a certain way doesn't mean I can't perform.
Can you psych out other eaters? I'm sorry to interrupt, but can you psych them out by like being like, oh man, I don't feel right today? Like when you're lining up, getting out there, is there any psychological warfare?
Oh, absolutely. I'm like, I mean, we're competitors. So like if there's a contest, they all know I usually talk to the sponsors because the sponsor is really happy I'm there usually. So I talk to the sponsor, they're going to make them the way I like them. They're going to make the food this way. I try to get in their head a little bit. And I definitely try to get in their head and let them know that, like, hey, there's no chance. You're not even going for first. You're going for second.
Wow. And, that's cool.
When I look over your records, I see so many varieties of food, but one sticks out at me, and that in 8 minutes you drank 1.8 or consumed 1.875 gallons of gumbo. And that to me, all I can think of is that some years ago on social media there was the milk challenge where people would try to drink a gallon of milk and they'd get halfway through and they'd throw up. The volume of that amount of and I know there's other impressive things. Is it a different food, strategy?
It's solid, but it's liquid also.
Yeah, is there a strategy that varies between solid foods and liquid foods when you're doing this?
Yeah, well, a liquid food is you want to go in empty. You want to go in familiar with the flavors, but that's a big one. Like, because some people have great capacities, and I'm lucky because I have a great capacity and I also can use it, but. Yeah, the liquid one's weird because it's you can take in so much, but then it actually goes through you pretty quick without being graphic. But it's a different kind of contest.
Well, let's be graphic for a second because we're talking to you, and I think we have to ask the question that everybody wants.
Do you have
to know
a bidet? So,
let me ask the way. After this is over, is one of your trainers or your manager standing off the behind stage with a feather or anything else? Everybody always asks this first question. Do you purge after this is over, after a certain amount of time passes? Wait, do you do that?
Look, how many ways are you going to ask it? It out already. Jeez.
Sorry about that. Just telling you the truth.
Everybody wants coming out of you. Jeez.
So, because I mean, I would think it'd be dangerous in some cases.
Well, I pretty much listen to my body. There are times where I get sick, but as I listen to my body, most of the times when I was getting sick is because I was dehydrated. And now that I know my body a little bit better, by the time I'm done with interviews, it's settled so deep most of the time. It's a one-way road, but there are times where if it's super hot outside, but if the contest has been delayed and I'm dehydrated, if I'm dehydrated, then the food doesn't want to digest.
Wow.
There's so much food inside of me, I can't really hydrate myself to help it digest.
When you talk about hydration, do you hydrate prior to the contest significantly? Like, how much water would I don't want to give any of your secrets.
I need to make sure I'm drinking liquid. But leading up to the contest, the last couple hours, I want to really taper off and make sure there's nothing in my stomach. That's the weird balance. I want to make
delicate sure balance.
Yeah, make sure I'm not using my capacity, my stomach capacity, with water. So
Who are some of the people that are in the arena now? I think we know. Is it Kobayashi? Is he another one? Is he?
He's been gone for a little while.
Yeah, he's been gone. It's like that in itself is a true Hollywood story. And so is Joey's for that.
Yeah, I do not know the Kobayashi story or the Chestnut backstory. I just know the name. So what are you? Is there any insight you want to offer?
Are there any young bucks coming up that you're like, man, I heard this one kid from Jersey, he can really eat.
What about the kid from Two and a Half Men?
do you have to pay attention to that landscape, or do you walk in so confident you're like, no, I'm the champ?
I do have to be aware of everybody, and I think complacency is one of my biggest things. That I can't get complacent. If I get lazy, I got a lot lazy in 2015. I lost. And I thought I could get it. I could phone it in, and Matt Stoney beat me. So Matt Stoney could be there. I'm pretty sure he'll be competing on the 4th of July. He beat me in 2015. He's capable of 60 plus hot dogs. There's Jeff Esper out of Boston. And I know he's capable of more than 60, but he's kind of crazy. And he's like me. But he just, for some reason, he can't put it together on the 4th of July. So hopefully he puts it together and pushes me, and we can,
In your total career, have you ever estimated with prizes and cash your total winnings and what you've taken home being in this? And is it your full-time gig, or do you do anything else with your life?
I do lots of things in my life.
I'm talking about like career-wise.
Profession.
Career.
I wasn't trying to put you down, Joey. I'm just trying to ask the question.
I think we're more than the way we make money, all right?
Yes, we are 100%, Joey.
I disagree. 100%.
Oscar would disagree, but that's it. So have you ever added it up?
I think no, I haven't added it up. I know I've been pretty lucky. I've been above 200,000 last decade. So it's,
just on the eating contest alone.
Yeah, just on the eating contest and appearance fees. But I don't know. The whole thing's crazy. I can't believe it's. I gave up my job in construction management to travel around the world and eat, and I get to make people happy. At first, it was purely the competition I love, but now it's like I actually get fan mail, and I love making people happy.
You come on shows like this. It's you're fascinating. It's fascinating to talk to, and I love your perspective on it. You seem to have a perspective on it that you know, you understand that this is an incredible break, that you've been able to do this and have so much fun. What's the future hold? Are you slowing down in the future? Are you going to keep doing this? Is there a target date? Or are you going to be in the arena for the foreseeable future?
Oh my God! I went to the doctor not too long ago, and everything looks good. My blood work came back good, and whatever I'm doing, I'm going to keep doing it. I love it. I love eating. I am getting older, so it's harder. I can gain weight a lot easier, and it's a little bit harder to lose it. So I could see myself doing a little bit less contests, a little bit fewer. I love competing and just measuring myself against somebody else. And
you mentioned, you mentioned your doctor, and I'm curious about that. Have there ever been, with this line of work, I think a lot of people would want to know, any kind of health scares, issues,
mustard poisoning.
And do you get mustard poisoning? Shut up. You got me.
I haven't had mustard poisoning. I was a little bit worried about horseradish. A lot of horseradish. But it's as far as real, and the worst is, like, so there was a couple summers where I would do a contest every weekend, and I put on like 35 pounds in 2 months.
Wow.
And my doctor didn't like that. And then I tried to lose weight a little bit quickly, and then I hurt my ankle. So most of it's I just need to make sure I don't gain weight too quickly, and don't try to overexert myself. But I really work hard to make sure I eat healthy during the week and in between contests, because I love the contest. I'm not going to go out there, and people are out there, they drive 4 hours to watch me eat. I'm going to make sure I do really well, and so I'm going to push myself and make sure I'm healthy.
That's cool. As far as the eater, and I have to ask this question because Rob and I are on this show, Joey, and you know, you and Oscar would fit into one category of body mass, and the two other people that on the screen that you're looking at fit into another one. Joey, have you noticed in your career that besides yourself, are there any are more successful competitive eaters fat or thin?
Great question.
There it is.
I think definitely the healthier you are, the easier it is to push yourself. And
I'm out.
It sucks. I probably would be chubbier if I wasn't so competitive. So I eat healthy so that I can make sure on the day of the contest I can win. But there are big eaters like Adlands Booker. He's 400 and something pounds. The nicest guy you ever meet. He loves to eat, and so he loves to eat so much that during the contest, he's winded, and there's no way you can keep eating quickly when you're winded. If you're breathing out of your mouth, you can't swallow food. So the big eaters, they have to be able, they have a hard time keeping up with somebody who's fit.
Do they ever have to cart anybody out in this type of situation where, you know, you talked about the guy that yacked because he couldn't help the brain tacos. Anybody really ever get in distress in these? Because that's what scares me a little bit when I think of that.
Yeah.
I just think of, you know, I didn't like doing it when we do it in the old shock jock days on the radio show. It would be weird for me. It still freaks me out. I always think, is someone going to die doing this? Have you ever had a scare?
In major league eating contests, nobody's been at all and carted off, but everybody, there's always an EMT. There's people, I've never seen anything serious happen in the contest.
That's amazing.
They don't let people get on stage when they're drunk, and they're not, all the contests we're doing are, they've been done before or very similar. It's not like we're having somebody drink 3 gallons of water for the first time on a radio station. Somebody died doing that.
It was horrible.
Everything we're doing has been done before, and it's like, oh, there's no reason why there should be an issue unless there's something wrong with the person.
I have one more follow-up, Mike. I'm so sorry. And Joey, thank you for your time. Very gracious.
Yeah, I got one more question, then we'll let Joey go, because this is great.
When you're on stage, and you're in the zone. Because you have so many people, especially with a crowd in front of you. Do you get a focal point? Do you pick somebody? Do you have a family member that you just stare at, like you stare away to? Is there somebody that you, is there a methodology to that? I feel like I would need some, or else you get distracted.
Right.
Yeah, there's a, actually most of the contests, probably not 4th of July, but most of the contests, before the contest, I go to the audience and I talk to the people in the front a little bit and to let them know they can yell at me if I'm getting lazy. You can tell me I'm being lazy and slowing down for no reason. And on the 4th of July, I usually have a friend or family member right in the front and they're yelling at me. And so it's definitely, it goes back to a little bit of comfort level. I enjoy being told like, hey, you can do better than that. And, so I
Mike does too.
Yeah.
So,
sure.
Laziness is like it's nice to have somebody not letting me get lazy, and I definitely try to look out for somebody telling me I'm lazy.
Last question, Joey Chestnut, world champion eater. I have to tell you, and we have to take Nathan's out of this, although this is why you're here. Nathan's, I want to mention the annual Nathan's Famous 4th of July International Hot Dog Eating Contest is going to be back at Coney Island. It's going
with
to be
a crowd. Yeah.
One of those things returning to normalcy. We're really excited about that. I just have this in my mind. You are told that it's not related to your eating, but the man at the pearly gates has decided this is it. You are living your last day. You have a last meal, Joey Chestnut. What are you going to sit down and enjoy at a table unrelated to competition? What is your numero uno? You love to eat. You've talked about loving to eat. What's your number one meal if you can't have anything else for the rest of your life? Your favorite meal?
I love good prime rib. Good prime rib.
Wow.
And it's hard to beat. I enjoy the au jus. And maybe you could throw in some king crab on there also. It's some garlic mash. I like a good steakhouse that has prime rib and some king crab.
All right. That's awesome. Really, everybody check it out. It's going to be on ESPN 12 noon, 4th of July. I think it's cool that they donate 100,000 hot dogs to the food bank for New York City every single year. Back at Coney Island, where you've made the name for yourself, congratulations on all your success and all of these records. And, we wish you another 7. I think you do another 75. My God, it's easy. Not even going to be close. That's the way I look at it.
I'm a little bit nervous eating in front of people. It's been a while since I've eaten in front of an audience, so I'm hoping I can... Hopefully I'm not nervous, but
just
turn it on.
Well, for the last year, Mike, he's had to be 6 feet away from the hot dogs, and it makes it tough.
Very, very, social distancing with the dogs. Joey, thanks so much for taking this time to talk to us. It was fascinating to us, and really, good luck on the 4th of July. We'll all be watching, and continue your hot streak. Thank you so much, Joey Chestnut. We appreciate that.
You guys take care.
Thank you, Joey.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That's Joey Chestnut, everybody. The records are incredible. And 75 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes. That was something truly, truly special. Wow. It's just, I don't know what it says about me and what I like to do as an interviewer. I could be on the phone with him for an hour and a half. I could just keep going and going and
even,
going.
Even better. I dream of the day that we walk into some sort of party and that's a guy like that in the corner and no one realizes who he is right away.
Right.
And you get there first.
Yep.
And you just start talking shop. I'd love to. Yeah. I'd love it.
I like the focal point.
I do too.
But these guys don't boot. These skinny guys that are in these competitions, they don't yak, but they do train. They expand their tummies to do that.
Well, Mike, the hot dogs have to lay right.
Yeah, but the cow's brains didn't, obviously. Oh, no. So that's.
Hey, I want to thank Mark Riddell for setting that up. That was really fun to talk to.
Twitch, thank you very much for grabbing that. That's Joey Chestnut. And don't forget, that's the famous 4th of July thing that's happening on ESPN 12 noon broadcast live. We will take a break and come back with the homepage right here. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show, and I'm going to have a big old taco for dinner with some cow's brains.
Boom.
Hi, I'm Rachel Riddell.
And I'm Samantha Riddell.
You know, our father is Twitch from The Mike O'Mara Show. We've known Uncle Mike our entire lives. Dad played keyboards in Mike's DJ band. He sold advertising for the show and worked behind the scenes on the podcast. Nowadays, Dad makes fruitcakes and works into the night producing promos for TMOS. Our dad doesn't do all this because he loves Mike O'Mara. Dad lost a big Super Bowl bet to Mike back in 2014 and is still trying to pay it off. For a limited time, $1 from every TMOS bonus show subscription will go towards paying Mike off so we can have our daddy back.
Won't you please help us?
Subscribe to the TMOS bonus show and help set our father free.
Sometimes I can still hear his voice.
Guys, I'm right here.
We love you, Daddy.
Love you, Daddy. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Brought to you by Emeril's Air Fryer. We've all been cooking a lot more lately.
Yes.
So, you know, it's slow when you're preparing a meal for a whole family, waiting for the oven to preheat. Cleanup is never fun.
Worst.
This is what you got to do. Check it out. You've got to check out award-winning chef Emeril Lagasse's Power Air Fryer 360. It replaces nine appliances. So much more than an air fryer. It's an air fryer, rotisserie, toaster, broiler, pizza oven, and more, all in one. Emeril's Air Fryer 360 cooks with hot air, not oil, so you can cook healthier with up to 70% fewer calories. It cooks food with a whirlwind of superheated air for that great crispy fried taste without all of the added fat and calories.
Mike.
And it comes, yes, sir.
There's a new thing in my house. It happens about 9:45 every night when a young man comes home from a bustling pizzeria with his pizza that he's brought home. Warms it in the air fryer.
Oh, I love that.
And in no time at all, it tastes like it's right out of the oven. It is the best for stuff like that because it's fast.
I want to amplify that a little bit because you're talking about what we do too with a lot of products like that. You know, if you ever reheat a pizza in the microwave, it just doesn't cut it. Hmm. You put it in this Emeril air fryer and it'll come out just like it is if it came right out
fresh,
of a pizza oven.
Fresh.
It's fantastic. It's dishwater safe parts. They have that. Clean up quick and easy. Cooks everything perfectly every time. Burgers, mozzarella sticks, salmon, Oscar's chicken tenders.
Oscar.
Can't go wrong.
Tater tots, carrot sticks, effortless, perfect for a small kitchen, and I promise you will use it every day. Just hit the button and walk away. Leftovers taste better than they did the first time around. Emeril's Air Fryer 360 makes an amazing Father's Day gift. June 20th. That's the date. Right now, they have an exclusive offer just for our listeners. If you go to tryemerilair.com and use promo code TMOS, you will receive 10% off, plus free shipping. So go to tryemeril.com, and use our promo code TMOS. One last time, tryemeralair.com and use TMOS as the code. Boom, bam, and you are set to go.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
All right, shoppers, I got this for you. If you were planning on rolling out on a national holiday for most people, you ain't going to be able to go to Walmart. They're doing it again, ladies and gentlemen, and I say kudos to them. Walmart has announced that stores nationwide will remain closed on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh!
Amen. I like this.
Wow.
For the second year in a row, the move was made as a way to show appreciation for the Walmart employees and all that they've done for their communities during the COVID-19 pandemic. Hey, you know, a lot of people forget this. It'll go away, but you're going to forget the people that were frontline workers in grocery stores and places like Walmart and drugstores. They were dealing with this.
Oh, yeah.
They were just to make a living, to feed their families. They're out there on the front lines when this COVID was terrifying for a lot of people. So I say here's to it. Here's what they say from Walmart. Throughout the pandemic, our associates have been nothing short of heroic in how they have stepped up to serve our customers and their communities. Let me see. They're going to close on Thanksgiving Day. That'll allow Walmart employees to spend time with their loved ones and enjoy
the
holiday.
So I love it.
I rarely
it's
do
about
the PR
time,
shill for a corporation.
But Walmart wouldn't have done this unless they had already supersized their online business. Like, that's not happening if they hadn't built out their online marketplace and gotten some market share over the pandemic.
Whoa. Your soul is full of gadgets.
What if Wednesday night before Thanksgiving at 8 p.m. at the Walmart tower, they turned off the modem? Then this is a gesture.
Yeah. Won't that be fun? We don't know where we're going. We don't know if we're going back to Vegas yet. We have no idea. We haven't finalized anything yet. We'll let you know when we do. We'd love to see you, but if you are going to Vegas, I think as well as going to a Mike O'Mara show, I would want to maybe come by this type of event. Escape Blair Witch will be coming to Las Vegas in July, and it will see those brave enough to take on the challenge entering a purpose-built 100-year-old eerie property in dark and sinister backwoods. Rather than taking place in a single room like most escape rooms, the attraction will boast 10 rooms of tense, time-based puzzles to be solved within an hour.
How do they describe the structure, Mike?
It is, let me see, it's weird the way they describe it. It is a dark and sinister, an old eerie property in a dark and sinister backwoods.
Oh, it's Binion's.
There you go. As guests enter, they will immediately be transported into the lifelike small village of Burkittsville, Maryland, to investigate mysterious happenings and disappearances within the community.
I don't know. We're going to get out of here. It looks kind of bad.
How do you feel about that? Who's that in the corner? Investigators will then need to work together to escape multiple rooms that bring the classic film, The Curse of the Blair Witch.
Josh! Worst film ever.
Yeah.
Did you all, when you were on the air, I wasn't on the air, I was just a kid, and we drove up there, like our group of friends. I remember jumping in a friend's car, and we drove up there and made a big deal about going up there. So if that's something you can do that's maybe closer to home or you're
just
already
another
there.
Big movie that I thought was crap.
Horrible. We all
you guys hated it.
Hated it. Went to the theater and looked at Carrie and said at this volume when the lights came up, what the hell was that?
That sucked.
It did suck.
It was terrible.
It terrified me.
Anybody could do a third grader could have made that movie.
You're right.
I've always thought that. And by the way, the point of view movies, I hope they go by the by.
Not all of them.
Paranormal, I agree with Oscar.
You know, the it's like paranormal.
Ones.
It's like
stick around.
I don't know.
Para something.
Para what?
Am I right?
Researchers have revealed a link between diet and COVID-19. Sorry, Rob.
What?
It showed plant-based eaters were 73% less likely to come down with the virus compared to those who include animals in their diet. Meanwhile, pescatarians, whose primary protein source is fish, were at a 59% lower risk. The new study published by the BMG Nutrition Prevention and Health based these findings on a self-reported questionnaire submitted by a total of 2,800 individuals, all healthcare workers from six European countries, 568 of which had confirmed cases of the coronavirus during the previous year. Hmm. So you eat a plant-based diet, you're a vegetarian, you got a better chance at beating the corona.
Matt Bloom and his canoe.
Yes.
Right up your alley, sir. Just
exactly.
Just actually eat them. Don't let them go.
Let them dirty Fairfax fish.
Are you a pescatarian?
No, not really, man. I do enjoy eating fish, but I prefer meat.
Look out!
I prefer meat.
You prefer meat. Okay, well, that's good.
You're
that's
gross, good Rob.
Like, what is the operative sauce on your famous spaghetti is usually a bolognese, right? A meat sauce?
Yeah. It's usually a little bit of chorizo, like finely ground in with a standard tomato sauce.
Mm, but the secret ingredient, Mike, is a heavy shaking and a sprinkling of loneliness.
He's so cruel.
And hope.
Hey, you know, we were talking about this guy yesterday, so not Conan, but we were talking about this guy. Conan O'Brien's TBS talk show will be coming to an end later this month. An hour-long finale will air on June 24th in an earlier-than-usual time slot, 10 p.m. Eastern time. You know, when Conan got so screwed.
Many
he
times.
He just got so screwed.
All the time
it just,
screwed.
It shouldn't have been like this. I don't blame him, though, for getting out of the game. An hour-long finale will air June 24th. And the final 2 weeks of shows, Conan will be welcoming back a live studio audience for the first time in over a year. The show has been filming at the Los Angeles cabaret venue, The Largo, at the Coronet Theater. All audience members will need to be fully vaccinated on the day of attendance and show proof of vaccination. The final guest on the series will be Jack Black, the aforementioned Jack Black.
That's a good call.
Cool.
Conan's
he'll be great.
Last cool. guest. That's kind of interesting and should very be cool. Fun, and there'll be some shtick, and I hope I remember to watch it. I really do. And now a little something.
That's
something,
what they've
people.
Been saying about the Conan show for 20 years, Mike. I hope I remember to watch it.
Yeah, I know.
Or where is
TBS?
It?
TBS is a black hole.
I know.
Is it not? I mean, I don't know what if the numbers bear it out. When they put the playoffs, the baseball playoffs on TBS, that's when the playoffs die.
I have to remember. I have to remember. Yeah. I'm like, oh,
I still couldn't tell you what number it is on DirecTV.
Conan gets the same amount of press from TBS as Mama's Family. he's got on the same level, and that's exactly why it's not a success, and it sucks.
I know. It's too bad. It's a drag. He should have been the host of The Tonight Show.
Yes.
In Martins Ferry, a little something-something. Now, in Martins Ferry, Ohio, drivers were shocked to see a blonde, muscular, and naked man jump out of a manhole Monday afternoon and then jump into the back of a work truck and appear to hide.
Appear?
That's when you know you're not hiding very
well.
Not
doing
a
good job.
To hide. Later, the man jumped out of the now moving truck, fell hard on the ground, and began running towards the Ohio River. Martins Ferry Police Chief, his name was John McFarland, said Monday the naked man may be the same person his officers were looking for in connection with a domestic incident.
Oh, dear.
That occurred in the city. As to why the man was naked, McFarland said it's possible the man is on drugs. You think? But later in the day, they got him. The chief said, we got him by the footbridge going towards the football field. He was still naked. There you go. The chief said Jones has been charged with obstructing official business and domestic violence. I guess it was a domestic issue. This was a big deal in Ohio. In Florida, we refer to it as a Wednesday. That's how we call it. Yeah.
He was still naked.
He's still naked. Got him over by the footbridge.
Footbridge.
There's his penis. Anyway, we got to take a break. I have a little audio to share with you.
We were talking about
chihuahuas audio. And dogs. And I'll play what I hear every night in my house right here on the show. Won't be pleasant. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Al Pacino, and I love talking to you. Hoo-ah! Do you like to talk? Maybe you want to talk to your favorite hosts. Well, say hello to my little friends. Get ready to get on Zoom and be a TMOS talking head. Just send your info to Rob at MikeOmeraShow.com. Include a phone number! Do it now, before you lose your mind and go crazy, just like me! Because this is something you'll want to remember. I'm Al Pacino, and I'm not sure where I am. Hoo-ah!
Hoo-ah. Thank you, Al. Appreciate that. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. This portion of the program brought to you by a company that we are very proud to be associated with. That's Cornerstone First Financial. I want to throw out the regular commercial here and just tell you that... I can't say enough about this company that we have all done serious business with. When I say serious business, when you get a mortgage for a new house or you refinance, it is a big deal
in
most houses in America. And, you know, these are the folks that just get it done. And I'm so proud of our association with Cornerstone First Financial. They have been with us for a very long time now. They still advertise. We still have them as neighbors for a short time when we move our operation downtown to in Washington, D.C. We're going to have to say goodbye to being very close to them, but hopefully they'll still be a part of this show for a very long time.
Of course.
Cornerstone First Financial has really been there for us, just like they're there for you when you get a refi or a mortgage on your house. It's still a great time to refinance with the rates that they have or buy a home. There are a lot of markets in the country where home sales have been heating up, and you can still do it. They've got a great team with Mark Livingstone and company over at Cornerstone First Financial. The rates have fallen back to low levels again. They're in the twos. They won't be there forever. Please take advantage. Loans are closing in just 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Fantastic.
2 weeks.
Listeners of the Mike O'Mara Show for over 5 years. I'm sorry. I read that incorrectly. They've been serving listeners of the Mike O'Mara Show for over 5 years. That's what I wanted to say. They will guarantee to meet or beat any offer, or they'll pay your mortgage for an entire year. The professionals at Cornerstone First are standing by. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Call now. Personal attention from application to closing. I think it was the digital dumpster yesterday where Rob Spiewak was playing a long, you said specifically, a long-haired chihuahua.
Exactly. I wanted to be specific so you could have them in your mind's eye.
I think I can best describe this as the animal I love will make a more annoying sound than the animal that is really just the steady, obnoxious growl here. But this is in my home, and I got off the air not 10 minutes later. I said, Carla, take my phone. I hit record, and I'll let it speak for itself. This is, the sound that Rob played yesterday is nothing compared to what I hear.
I can't wait.
Pardon the quality of the recording. I did the best I could, but I give you, the barking will be Winslow, And the other sound, the otherworldly sound, from the demon from hell sound,
yes,
will be Frankie. Winslow and Frankie on our couch yesterday evening. Let's listen, shall we? Here we go. By the way, the sound in the background was brought to you by Lennox Crappy Air Conditioners. Lennox Crappy Air Conditioners, sounding like a 747 in your home 24/7.
It's crazy.
What's an air conditioner that runs all day, every day, during the summer? What's the air conditioner that's about ready to say, give up the ghost? What's the air conditioner that's causing Mike O'Mara to sweat and say, get me a train while I can, please?
No,
get the quiet train that I had.
Louder than a train.
Jesus.
That noise, but that steady noise from Frankie sounds like a broken kazoo. I mean, it's just like a steady thing. And I have to guess, because I've seen the dynamic between younger and older dogs, Winslow wants him to play, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
And he has no business. He's old now.
Yeah, so he doesn't want to do it.
And the whole expression is like, the whole time.
Yeah,
but I mean, really, at the end of that audio, I listen. That's what I, you know, my wife accuses me, of course, and probably a little justified there, to being deaf, stone deaf.
Yes.
Deaf as a stump, deaf as a stone, deaf. I can't hear you, deaf. But when you are trying to watch Whisper TV, like every modern drama, the shows that I like, the murder shows.
Yes.
Murder. When I'm trying to watch Dirty John, and and it's like the dialogue's like, well, because Connie Britton, every line she had in that was, and I heard the real lady, and I said, Connie Britton aced it. She sounds like that lady, Deborah Newell.
Yeah.
She really sounds like, because Deborah Newell's going, you know, you want to wonder, you know, how do you let somebody like that in your life? Maybe because you're dumb. Anyway. A little caught up in Dirty John.
Understood.
I'm sorry. I've done some deep dives
again,
on both shows.
I love this.
Yeah. I did a deep dive on the first episode after I finished watching it, and it's like, you know, can't understand. I didn't see it coming. Well, you could have. All you had to do was just, you know, ask a few more questions and not think about that. And anyway, it was, no, I'm sorry. No, people would be pissed off at that, but.
There's a great scene in season one, Mike, where Connie Britton looks at the camera and goes,
Mike, I've jumped to another show. It's called Sweet Tooth.
Oh, you have another record because we're done.
Sweet Tooth. Sweet Tooth.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
No worries. You probably have seen it. It's the number one show on Netflix. It's been the number one since this past weekend. I didn't want to get into it until I got into, you know, finished out Dirty John. Sweet Tooth. It depends on where you are in your mindset and really dealing with the COVID pandemic, because it hits a little close to home because there's an outbreak, there's death. It's kind of eerie.
But was it filmed before we were in the throes of COVID, or
very
is it
well done?
Is it reaction to COVID this show was done?
It feels like somebody said, let's fast track this show. It's well done, but let's fast track this one show.
And you like it?
And it's compelling. It is compelling.
Really?
Wow. Yes.
All right. And it's a series? Is it a limited series, or is it a regular series?
It's 10 episodes of the season, if I'm not mistaken. And if I can just give you a thumbnail of what's about.
Any star power? Anyone we'd know in it?
No.
Okay.
There's a plague that breaks out. Sound
Eight
familiar?
Plagues.
Some people are dying. Some people are not. There are rumors that what ends up happening is that nature is caught up with the world and now babies are being born hybrid babies. So a baby that's hybrid with another animal, with another, and this is all happening.
Oh, hello. I'm okay with that. That's the kind of sci-fi, like based in like something that could happen that I'd like it. It's
correct.
Like
the island of, Island of Dr. Moreau stuff. That's good stuff. Yeah.
And the hybrid babies.
Hybrid baby.
Are,
where's little Johnny?
Johnny's barking at his brother because he wants him to play.
Are the special effects cool?
They're very good. And because they're
children. I was hoping they'd be like mascot costumes.
And the children, without giving any spoilers, are being hunted. And
it's part baby, part horse. He's a giant horse head. Like the Oklahoma Sooner.
They're being eradicated. It's just
they're eradicating the hybrids.
The hybrids. It and this
they're going
isn't
back
like
fully to fossil fuels. Oh, speed. We're talking. Did you hear us talking about this? Why are you whispering? I'm doing the show. Speaking. Let me bring in my hybrid baby.
Your own hybrid.
Hybrid baby.
Here's my own hybrid. Come right in here, Michael.
Yes.
Please.
Hi, buddy.
Oh, he's on Fortnite. Come here. Come here. Say hi to the guys. And then.
Hi.
Hey, buddy.
Hi.
How's it going?
Is mommy washing faces today?
Yes.
Yeah, so you're on your own back there. You're not doing anything dumb, are you?
I'm just playing Fortnite.
The next break, I'm going to brag about you. What do you want to say right now? We won't tease. Would you like to tell the guys about your iReady tests?
I'd rather you brag. I'm just kidding.
He's humble.
So when I took our math reading diagnostic, I was the highest one in the class.
Hey, look at that.
And then for the math diagnostic, I was the highest.
Yeah, you are.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's good
are.
Job. Good job.
Well done.
I love you.
Well done.
Very proud of you, my boy. Really proud of you. Okay, it's the truth. What's that? You're going to be right here?
That's
okay,
right.
You can hang out. Absolutely. You do whatever you want.
I have a follow-up, but I'll ask you, Mike.
Yes.
How smart are the kids in this class?
That's a good break point right now. I like that break point. Yeah, the answer would be, I don't know. I could say, I don't know. But instead, I'll say, I don't know.
You know who came in second was Horse Boy.
The hybrid baby. What's that show called again? I want to.
It's called Sweet Tooth.
Sweet Tooth.
Mm.
Might be all over that tonight. Mm. We'll be right back, everybody.
Checking in live from the deck of the Jack Tar.
Do you know that Pony has something peculiar and unexpected in his car at all times?
So I got an inflatable fishing kayak.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
I never thought I'd get a gone fishing from this guy.
I like going down the pond chasing bluegills or tommy cats.
You don't even eat them?
I mean, I don't want to eat a dirty Fairfax fish.
Bad fish.
There I'll eat, haven't. Like, flounder if I'm, like, surf fishing in Virginia Beach.
I caught you a delicious bass.
This shark will swallow you whole.
Whether you're the skipper on the deck of the Jack Tar or the SS Caballito.
Caballito. Small horse.
The Mike O'Mara Show Shopping Center has everything you need for your next fishing expedition.
One case of apricot brandy.
Happy.
Iranian caviar, and don't forget the color TV.
Click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com, and as we say on the high seas,
here's to swimming with bow-legged women.
Thanks, Quint. Captain Quint, ladies and gentlemen.
You
welcome
know,
back to
Pony
the Mike
Pony told
O'Mara
me
Show.
When he was out on his quiz, he says, why are you out here, Mr. Jaws?
Mr. Jaws, what are you doing, Mr. Jaws? Michael, can you go grab that Daddy's Theragun that's right
nice.
Next to his TV chair? Can you do that, please? Because I want to. I need it today. I don't know why, but I got a little something right here.
I don't know why.
I don't know why, but don't let the stress of daily life weigh on your body. Theragun can help. The Theragun is the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tensions using depth, speed, and power, and it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. And I'm waiting now because I'm going to see if my son brings it into me because I actually really do need it right now. The Gen 4 Theragun. Here, isn't that
there
a beautiful
go.
Carrying case that's there?
I love
Wonderful.
It.
Gorgeous. That's beautiful. I'm going to get it out of here.
Or when you travel.
Great case. All right. There it is. Can you see it in the case?
We see, yes. see it.
Mm-hmm.
How's that? Huh? Isn't that perfect?
Beautiful.
Doesn't that look like Bond? The name is Bond. James Bond. Super cool. All right. Hold on.
It's
all right. All right. Very good. Let me turn it on.
Would you? I would have. If I had a son, I would have him hold it.
There it is. Right there.
Barely like, hear it.
Oh, my God. All right, the Gen 4 Theragun gets to the source. Hold on, I gotta press my button here. That's I'm so left-handed. I'm so, but I'm right-handed right now. Hold on. All right, gets to the source of the pain by releasing tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which is right now hitting me in the neck where I need it. There's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4. The OLED screen and design is amazing. Go to their site, check it out. It delivers.
Yeah.
This product delivers. Theragun, trusted by 250 professional sports teams. Also, the two guys that invested in the company. How about Aaron Rodgers and who's
Kevin
the
Durant.
That invested?
Kevin Durant.
That's right. They Theragun.com/TMOS. I got behind here on this because I wasn't paying attention. This is the Theragun. You want a Theragun? Go to Theragun.com.
So I want Oscar, this commercial to last a little longer. We might have to finish this show by ourselves.
Oh, my goodness. /TMOS. Theragun.com/TMOS. Just for 1 second.
Yeah.
Just a little bit more. That's about 30 seconds. That's all I need right there. Oh, man.
Nice.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Welcome back to the show. I've been wanting to do that. My mother-in-law stole it, and then I finally got it back in my possession. So
did you have to ask for it?
Welcome back to the... What's that?
Did you ask for it or gently nudge?
I did one better, Oscar. I had my wife ask for it.
Better. Better.
That's what I did.
Better.
Seriously, here's to my little guy. I mean, just the other day.
That's awesome.
I woke up with him. I mean, it's getting to be summertime. It's just constant with him. It's hard to describe. Everybody loves their kids. Not everybody.
Not
most
everybody.
People love their kids.
I know people who do not like their kids.
There's some monsters out there. I know. But I mean,
they're not monsters.
You love
they're just
kids.
Honest with themselves.
His name is Bob Spiewak.
I just love the little man so much. Yeah. The other day, next to my bed, is his first year in pictures. You've seen these frames.
Yeah.
1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. And the last picture, I think, before his 1 year birthday, is him in front of his smash cake, which we got him up at my sister's house up in Maine. And the last one is like crammed into the frame, and it looked like an alien. It looked like an alien. And I said to him, and so this is like before he's going to school, like 6:30 in the morning. And I'm going, take me to your leader. Take me to your. And he falls on the floor laughing because he's got the comedy gene.
Yeah.
And then he comes and tells me that he was number one in his diagnostics. And I'm just blown out of the water.
It's amazing
he
that
can
he
be
would
a pain in the ass, too. If he's listening, he can be a pain, too. There he is. His head.
Oh, wow.
What did he say? What did he just say?
I heard shut up.
I heard shut up.
No, you don't say shut up to me. You know what I'll do, right? Nothing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Buy him Legos.
Atomic wedgie.
Mike, it's amazing that he would score one in both English and math. I mean, normally a child excels in one and not the other, but that's fantastic that so he's so well-rounded.
I preach math here. I didn't have it in that department, and you know,
you're still tutoring him in the math?
No, I will. I will always believe. I'm not blaming teachers, but I think in a lot of classrooms, you get the kids that have the real ability are focused on, and the kids that have the real problems are focused on. The people in the middle, that like me, you
cruise
know,
I control.
Just didn't, and I had parents that were wonderful parents, but I didn't get my ass kicked like Oscar's parents kicked him in the ass and his sister and brother in the ass to get going. I tell him, I stress it. I think math is the key to the kingdom.
Yep.
Science, technology, STEAM. It is.
Yep.
That's why they teach it. What are we doing right now? You know, we're trying to retrain the workforce in America. So I'm proud of him. And if he's number one in math, I'm not sure where that comes from. Although Carla is probably better at it than
she's
I am.
She's detail oriented.
Mm-hmm.
She's very detail oriented, and she can be, you know, she can rattle off the figures really quickly, and she likes that. And you know, you keep watching those faces, baby.
She certainly keeps track of numbers like your age.
That type of subtraction fortunately didn't matter for that particular thing. Shut up, Rob. Anywho.
We don't say shut up.
We don't say shut up, not to me.
Real quick, I have to share this story with you. I'm at the bus stop with my neighbor, Kevin. And I don't know how we got on. Oh, I know how I got on the subject. So we're waiting. Our kids are next to each other. His adorable little daughter, Adeline, comes running out of the car. That. She's a kindergartner. And she's got some kind of donut thing on her T-shirt that she's wearing in the morning. And then Kevin says, as they're getting on the bus, something like, oh, they're, she and her mother are donut people. And by the way, Kevin and his wife are like super fit. They get this. They do this thing where they travel. They hike for fun.
What?
How dare they? How dare
what is that?
Let's kill them.
Fun? Rock climbing? Climbing on rocks?
Hard rocks?
Why? They're talking about donuts. And so he starts to talk about this donut place where he's from Texas. And he says this place is called Shipley's. And he said something along the lines of, this place is a chain. It's like Krispy Kreme on steroids.
Mm.
And Shipley's. Suddenly, because I'm a fat guy, I get intrigued. Look at both of you foodies looking at your computers. And he says, I said, first question about donuts. I said, cake or yeast?
Right.
He said, yeast donuts. And I'm like, smart. Now you've piqued my curiosity. And I am not exaggerating. I started laughing because as he's describing this particular glazed donut, where they take the glazed donut,
right,
and then they crumble up a cake donut and put the crumbled up pieces of cake donut on top of the yeast donut and then kind of toast it so that you've got kind of a toasted glazed
cake.
Wow. It's a hybrid donut.
It is.
I look down at my arm. And the hair is standing up on my arm. And look, I'm just saying this. And I'm sorry if you're grossed out by this. And my nipples are erect.
Wow.
I don't know what. I told this. I said, Kevin, I'm having an actual, nothing down there. But I will tell you, I'm having a physical reaction because I realize that a great donut is that important to me as I look at my body reacting to this, my overweight body just going, oh, really better? 10 times better than Krispy Kreme? Really? Tell me more. And I look, and suddenly the goosebumps start going,
yeah.
What's wrong with me? That's the thing. I'm 61 now. That's what gets me
but
excited.
But you're addicted to the thrill. The thrill of yeah. When can I get that in my gullet?
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's an absolute disease. It's an absolute, everybody calls everything a disease, but I'm not kidding you. I fell off the wagon today, food-wise. I haven't told my wife yet. I didn't go get donuts, but I did go get a concrete at Culver's today.
Mm.
I couldn't help my... The discussion of this. Heath bar.
You've always liked the Heath bar. You like the Heath bar.
I love the Heath bar. Yeah. I think it's probably packing the most calories into the little ice cream treat.
Were you celebrating? Was your son with you? Were you guys like getting ice cream together?
You know, no. I wasn't. No, I had nothing to do with...
He was at school, no?
I was celebrating. I had a whole day to myself before we taped this little wonderful excursion, and I'd gotten the windshield wiper fluid, and, fantastic. I was having a good old time. I got everything taken care of, had a little meeting down here, took care of a little business, and I was off to lunchtime, and I had a lunch that would clog anybody's arteries with a topper of a concrete, and it was all because this place, Shipley's, which, by the way, looks a lot like Tim Hortons.
Uh-huh.
It looks a lot like Tim Hortons, but he said Krispy Kreme on steroids, and there's one up in Tampa. There's
Tamper.
One in Bradenton, Florida. It's just up the road. Did you look on the website?
Have you
checked it out?
I saw some of the sprinkled donuts, and they look quite appealing. And they also
What is that? What is that? Quite appealing.
And here's the thing. Well, here's
about?
The thing is, they've got the.
It's not a review.
No. What
Ben Franklin.
What I think is amazing about them is they look a lot bigger than Krispy Kreme donuts. Which is
okay.
Krispy Kreme donuts are small, and I see here is a chocolate glaze with hunks of donut on top. Here is a another one that has this whole notion of putting the toasted cake donut on top.
Right.
The best
are
of
you
both.
Okay? Are
yeah.
you all right?
I've got a little something.
You're not having a heart attack, are you?
No.
Are you,
it's a best of both worlds situations here, Mike. And I'm just trying to wrap my head around it because what you've done is you've sprung something on me that I've never considered.
Are you having a physical
Yeah, this is you have so much saliva building up in your mouth that you
That's
talk for a living.
That's what it is.
And you are so physically moved.
But I want you to know it's weird because
working overtime.
It's weird. Everyone's affected differently because my nipples are still soft. But yeah, my mouth's watering.
physically reacted to that. It wasn't cold, for God's sake. It was hot down here. It's June in Florida. And, you know, I don't know if we'll head up the road. It's an awfully long drive.
Well, you've driven to Tampa for food.
Yeah. And it's not really
to Tampa for that steakhouse that I
It's not really a we drive. It's more of a me drive, isn't it?
Well, Tampa would offer things that, you know, you might travel to Tampa and check it out.
2 hours for a donut.
I wouldn't drive 2 hours for a donut. I drive, but I drive. You drive 2 hours for a donut?
I think I once did a joy trip to Richmond from home to get donuts. Yeah, because I wanted to go to Krispy Kreme there. I've
got it. So my buddy Mike Krasny, like an old friend who I reconnected with, and you know, I have no idea whether he pissed me off years ago, but it didn't matter because I forgot. And I said, hey, how you doing? What's up? He mentioned a restaurant in Richmond where he said he's had the best meals. He had one of the best meals of his life 30 years ago. And his wife and Mike went on a road trip and went back there. It's called Tobacco Road.
Oh, the Tobacco Company.
The Tobacco Company?
It's good? Legendary. Fantastic. Down in the bottom, yeah. My dad took me there after I... After I signed the papers and got my scholarship and everything, and when it was decided that I was going to go to VCU, that's where we went to dinner. And
it's called Tobacco Company?
The Tobacco Company. It is actually, the restaurant space is an old tobacco warehouse. It's a gorgeous property. And my father said, if you f*** up your scholarship, I'm not helping you out. How about something to drink?
yummy, love in my tummy. Let's take a break, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, we've got the digital dumpster. If he can hang on for just a few more
minutes. Don't talk about carbs. We'll be fine.
We'll be all right. And we'll be right back on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
Mrs. Z wants candy.
Shannon.
Thanks, Pete.
I like to snack.
Well, we should have something sweet.
She loves candy.
Airheads, if they're sour, Sour Patch. The watermelon flavored ones.
Sweet Tarts.
Nerds, black licorice.
Shannon.
Good and Plenty. Chocolate.
A Hershey bar.
Peanut butter cup.
Mary Jane's. Bitoloni. I ate all of my favorite candies.
Don't worry, Peach. You can stock up on all your favorites through the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center. Click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by, we welcome them back, My Bookie is back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, nice round of applause.
Love them.
From Woo! My Bookie. This weekend, get ready for one action-packed event, two title fights, and thanks to My Bookie, hundreds of ways to win. UFC 263, days away. And if you're scrambling to place your bets, problem solved. MyBookie.ag has you covered. Better yet, use our promo code TMOS to grab yourself a deposit bonus up to $1,000 and take advantage of fights like the highly anticipated rematch between Israel Adesanya. Let me see if I got it right. Israel Adesanya. Marvin Vettori.
Perfect.
Did I get that right?
Yes.
Is that what they are? The only thing more exciting than watching two beasts throwing haymakers is cash on your account when the final bell rings. And if you want NBA and NHL playoff action, MyBookie has no shortage of game lines, championship futures, and they've got the best player props in the industry. Sign up and use the promo code TMOS to grab yourself some extra funds on top of your deposit and start your day off with a win. That extra cash in your account so you can bet the best games and events all summer long. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Just remember the TMOS code and you can thank me later. MyBookie.ag. Let's see who's in the dumpster today. Let's see. Open it up. There it is. Look at that. There it is. Blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah. My name's Friday. I'm a cop.
Who was that?
My name's Friday. I'm a cop.
Mike, that's the late Jack Webb. We lost him in 1982 at age 62.
I got it. Okay, thank you.
Jack Webb. He was born John Webb.
Oh, that's exciting.
My name's Friday. I'm a cop.
All right.
Mike,
so
just briefly, we asked for names yesterday, and we had to come up with a new name for the digital
dumpster. Oh, the dumpster, yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Oscar remembers. You remember.
One, I didn't find something that I could present, but as I went through our TMOS fan club page, one gentleman, and I'll find his name, it struck me, what about the clip cruise, where we could have music and you have all kinds of
the
clips.
The clip cruise
like a boat ride cruise.
Yes.
Or like CREWS?
No, like a you know, a norovirus cruise.
That doesn't sit well with me, Mike.
Okay,
what about you?
Rob's Dirty Hamper.
That's really another segment, isn't it?
My name's Friday. I'm a cop.
So, it's Jack Webb.
That's a no.
Did you John come Webb. Up with a name? Did you come up with a name? Did you remember, Mr. Spiewak, did you remember the homework assignment?
As you recall yesterday, I wish to stick with Digital Dumpster. I like the name.
That's
he
a cop-out.
He likes the double D.
I like the double D. It's not a cop-out. It's what Oscar said he was going to come up with a name. We weren't assigned or tasked
no,
with
no,
doing
no.
it.
And I talked to Rob this morning. I was like, I think I got a name from a listener. So
we're and good. I said, leave me alone.
The listening room. Let's see what's in the listening room, shall we? Hi, I'm John Tesh.
The listening room.
The listening room says 4 out of 5 doctors say this is the.
So, Mike, people that work in the hospitality industry have usually, I think they pretty much like their jobs, unless you have to deal with someone who's extraordinarily stupid. Mm. This is an actual question that was asked of an employee of the Disney Corporation. And I think this wins stupid.
I worked for Disney World as a CP in Bell Services at one of the resorts. I once had a guest come up to me who had been checked in for hours and they still hadn't received their luggage to the room and they were using Disney's Magical Express service. We were trying to track down their luggage and we couldn't find it anywhere in our system. So we finally asked the guest where they left their luggage. They told us that they left it on their front porch of their home because they thought the service was magical. As if there's a magical bus that goes around all over the world and there just picks up people's luggage and sends it to Disney World. That's a 100% true story.
So there you are.
I think that says all you need to know about theme parks.
Yes.
I really, really do. I mean, I think that's what, you know, you go there. You're talking about sweat, hot sun, you know, waiting in lines that have been crafted to make you wait in line as long as possible.
You're leaving out the part that you're paying hundreds of dollars to be able to wait in line.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So the luggage
look,
is on
a lot
the
of
porch.
People are pissing off because I know there are a lot of people, but you know, I'll see a guy occasionally on a golf course with a Mickey shirt, you know, and I'll be like, oh. Anyway, go
ahead.
Well,
Mike, speaking of Disney, he turns 87 today. Today is Donald Duck's birthday. He debuted in the short The Wise Little Hen in 1934. And I play this because I know Oscar loves when you do the sneezing Donald
Please.
Duck. Won't you?
Okay. Hey, Michael. Oh, you're right here? You want me to do Donald Duck sneezing in front of you?
Yeah.
All right, come over here.
Oh, I love
he doesn't
it.
Even, he doesn't even have to be told to throw the imaginary.
He knows the game.
He knows the drill. Come around here, son. There you go. All right, ready? Over here so people can see you. This is get the head out of Fortnite for 5 minutes. All right. Are we on camp? Wait, you got to come
almost.
In closer.
Like you love him.
All right, ready?
Oh, no.
Yeah, back to the video game. It's not nearly as exciting, I know.
I loved it.
Well, he gets it on demand all day.
Yes, I suppose.
Yeah, constantly.
Mike, can you name, here is an artist that you played a lot when you were on the radio. Can you name this artist who has a new record out? It's called Hey Baby. I'll give you a hint.
Billy
she
Idol.
Had two number one records.
She.
Yep.
Joan Jett.
Not Joan Jett. I'm alone
next to you. Tiffany?
It is Tiffany. You nailed it. Wow.
Pretty good, aren't I?
Nice.
That's how many times you play that music,
well
you know the
done.
Sound.
Wow.
Tiffany.
She's touring wine and coffee house venues with two members of LA Guns. So you may want to check
hell?
It out this
I
summer.
I mean, that's what she does. Go ahead. That's fine. I'm cool with that. I played a lot of it. And I thought really from that beginning, I thought it might be like, I was going to go, if you said no sex involved with this, where you didn't say male or female, I would have said Adam Ant.
Yes, that's true. That's a good answer, too. Yeah.
Goody-two shoes.
But, Mike, she is touring with L.A. Guns, or as they call them in Paris, the Guns.
The Guns. Le Gun.
Le Gun.
La Gunne.
The good news is, Mike, no one was hurt. But when you take your small plane on a taco run and you crash in the Everglades, you really are cheating death.
We were like a 2,000 feet, and we had an engine failure. We knew we couldn't make it. People don't usually survive this kind of stuff. And the rate we were descending, we were like on a dive. We looked at each other and we were like, what? We're alive. I was thinking about my grandpa, and he's the one that he's up there, and he will save me. And he saved me today. Not the day to get tacos.
Not a good day to get tacos, no.
Wow. That's scary. That is very, very scary.
Talking about the donuts. They're flying to get tacos.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. If you've got a plane, it's a whole different thing. I mean, that 2-hour drive would be like 40 minutes tops to get the donuts. Do I know any pilots?
The hard
I used
part,
to in D.C.
The but. Hard part is finding an airstrip near the, what is it, the Shipley's?
Man, when we took our kid to the military museum at Naples Airport, and I'm watching those people roll through.
What a way to travel.
The way you would go, if you had an opportunity, is you would order the food and then have it delivered to the little airport. So when you land, the food is there.
Exactly.
And then you just chow down on your plane and fly back.
You fly.
Or you have your pilot fly and get it.
You fly while you eat.
Yeah, well, remember, when Elvis got the big peanut butter sandwich, he flew to Denver to get it.
What was that called? The Fool's
Gold Loaf, Mike. It was a hollowed-out loaf of bread with a jar of peanut butter, a jar of jelly, and a pound of bacon. And it was delicious.
Yum, yum in my tongue.
All right, so I don't know what's up with Mike Myers. I recently was organizing my DVDs, and I said, I haven't watched the Austin Powers movies in a while. Mm. And they fell off so sharply. The first one was really, I think, has aged rather well. Second two are horrible. He did the Gong Show thing a couple of years ago where he didn't admit to being Mike Myers, and he hosted it as a British comic. Here's the new thing. He's released a press release. He's getting a show on Netflix where he's going to play seven characters on it, and it's called The Pentaverate. And if you go back, we'll close with this. This is a great clip from when he was funny. I don't know if he's going to be funny again. This is from So I Married an Axe Murderer, when he plays the old man, and he's explaining what the Pentaverate is.
Well, it's a well-known fact, Sonny Jim, that there's a secret society of the five wealthiest people in the world known as the Pentaverate, who run everything in the world, including the newspapers, and meet tri-annually at a secret country mansion in Colorado known as the Meadows.
So who's in this Pentaverate?
The Queen, the Vatican, the Gettys, the Rothschilds, and Colonel Sanders.
He's been riding that Scottish accent forever.
He does it great. And he's Canadian, right?
Yeah,
he's a Canadian.
I wish him well, because I think he has funny to give us. Just don't screw it up, Mike Myers.
We'll see what happens.
Fingers crossed.
There's potential. He's made us laugh before. The opening scene in Austin Powers is one of the funniest scenes I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
That production number is... You know, that's all I need from that movie. I'd turn it off after that. I really can.
And you should. You should.
Thank you.
That's your digital dumpster. Have a good Wednesday, everybody.
We got to get out of here. So check out Shipley's Donuts. They separate the dough and the nuts. So it's Donuts.
So do I.
Yeah. Wonderful. Yummy, yummy. Congratulations, Michael. Good job. Love you.
Yes.
Going to go spend some time with him right now. And we will be back with a brand new episode tomorrow right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Don't forget, Spokane, June 24th. I'm coming to see you. The restaurant is called Osprey. And I will be there from 4 to 6 p.m. local time. Look forward. There's the little bugger.
There he is.
Flying up there with a stick in his mouth. Yeah. We'll see you next
time. Straw.
Goodbye for Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana. Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Oh, good for you.